You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
So, we see, of course, though, getting back to Jesus' mission and our mission, I don't want us to reduce Jesus' mission to just be only some verbal proclamation, meaning he's just out there just to speak. Jesus' mission was to die for our sins and for the sins of his people. Like, that was a part of the purpose. Yes, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. But Jesus' mission was to go to the cross. We read in Hebrews that it was the joy of the Lord as he peered and looked forward to what his death would accomplish, you know, for conquering sin and death once and for all. Jesus' mission is a little bit different than our mission. I couldn't pay for the penalty of sin for all the people in the world. I couldn't even pay for the penalty of my own sin. And so Jesus, in his mission, was to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand, to proclaim that that we are to repent and believe. And Jesus' mission was to go to the cross and be raised on that third day to prove to everyone that he is God himself and the Son of God, and that he's called to reconcile us back to our Heavenly Father, where we've had a broken relationship. God, through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, restores us into a right relationship back to our Heavenly Father that's been broken since the days of the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But then, like I mentioned earlier, we get the Great Commission that probably most people may have heard. Matthew 28 says, there we read that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Again, church mission, you see it's Trinitarian sense, and we're called to make disciples. But we also see elements of that Great Commission in other Gospels as well. In Mark chapter 13, verse 10, we read here, "And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Okay, so we're called to proclaim things to the whole world. In Luke chapter 24, "Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." In John chapter 20, verse 21, we read here, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So again, there's a big idea about the reason why we get involved in church is to be sent out to proclaim the good news, to tell people what Jesus has done in our lives and what he's done for others. And I don't want us to ever make a mission too small. I think that we have to think globally about church mission is go to the ends of the earth. But let me also tell you that being able to share the gospel, even with one fellow, might be your whole purpose in life, everything that you are to do. There's also what we see here in the book of Acts. We get a pretty good idea of what the early church was doing when the disciples were called to wait in Jerusalem and be ready to proclaim the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. That's what we get from Acts 1:8. But we see here that in the book of Acts, especially if you get to Acts chapter 14, you see here Paul and Barnabas were called for the work for which I have called them. This is from verse 2. And this is not the first time the gospel is telling us that we are called to be sent out as individuals from a church. But we see this unique point where Paul and Barnabas travel to Cyprus, then to Sidon, then to Antioch, then to Iconium, and then to Lystra, and then to Derbe. And from all the way back, they visit all these churches. And Acts 14 is a really good summary of doing missions work. And every time they would go and visit these cities, they did several things, almost like a PowerPoint presentation. Paul and Barnabas would share with their sending church, this is how we saw God at work. Here's where we went. This is what we did. And so, in other words, if there's any verses that are going to give us a really succinct description of what the church mission was about in the early church, it's verses like these at the end of Acts chapter 14. And if I could read that briefly here. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in their faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So when I read from Acts 14, verses 21 to 23, you see three specific things coming from verse 21, verse 23, and then I'll kind of close at verse 22. And I'd like to share is that, one, the mission of the church is, for new converts. We want to see people commit their life to Jesus Christ. And if you are listening to this today, maybe, you know, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And maybe as you're listening to this, we would call you to repent and believe and know that there is the hope of heaven waiting for you as we trust in Jesus Christ for what he's done. But in Acts chapter 14, we look here at verse 21. That Paul and Barnabas, when they had gone to go preach the gospel to that city, they made many disciples, many people coming to Jesus Christ as their king. We don't just see new converts, we also see new communities. In verse 23, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, meaning that when we go and we do missions work, establishing a church is kind of the function of the mission. And then there's this idea of nurturing that church. And so when they would report back all that they had done when they were sent out as missionaries, they're going back to their original church they were sent from, and it really strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in their faith. And so those are really three big things about what we see from Acts 14 about what it means to be the church and to proclaim the gospel. New converts, new communities, nurturing churches. And so you and I as missionaries, we're to communicate the news of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Savior to people who have not heard or accepted this news. As missionaries, you and I are supposed to communicate a new way of life that replaces really all that we've been doing in the past, all the social norms and behaviors and patterns of society. You know, Christianity is countercultural. And then missionaries are called to bring people, new believers, into a new community. And so another way to look at this is, we have evangelism, we have discipleship, and we have church planting. You know, one of the things that I love to see in churches and even here at Morningstar, where I serve as pastor, we have a vision. We have a five-year vision of developing out a new church plant, building up people to be trained in the Word of God, to be sent out then, and to proclaim the good news and to bring about a new community of believers. If a church is not having on its mission agenda establishing another church, I almost think it might be a dying church, thinking that it's all going to happen in their own four walls. But I think that a church is a sending church. Just as we make disciples who make disciples, we should be nurturing churches that nurture other churches. And then lastly, as we kind of close out our time together here, I want to keep the main thing the main thing. You can always, in trying to develop a good missionary statement for what it means to be a church, you can go too far to the left and you can go too far to the right. In many ways, we can start kind of steering away from what we're called to do. And so I think for us, it's very important that as a missions group, as a church, you know, we want to really make sure that we are following the obedience of God's word, that the God's word is our all in all. And the church mission isn't to develop new ideas, new programs, new events, and new ways. We're actually just reintroducing the old things, the Bible things, that, you know, we don't have to be all big and fancy. We just need to be biblical, scriptural, and Jesus-centered. His goal, meaning Jesus' goal as a missionary, even for Paul and Barnabas when they were being sent out, the goal of that missionary and for us was to convert people who were unbelievers, that in their transformed hearts and minds, that they would then come to know Christ more in their new faith walk. And then we would gather people together, these new believers, into a mature church. That was Paul's aim to accomplish when he started all of these churches. If you open up your Bible and go to the second half of the New Testament, you see all these letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. These were churches of cities, the Ephesus, Philippi, the city of Corinth. Paul was establishing communities of believers in places that would meet regularly, and we're still called to do that today. If you're listening here on this broadcast, let me tell you, get involved in your local church. Find a Bible-based church. If you don't have a home church, let me tell you, come to Morningstar. There's a lot of, and we're not the only faithful church out there. There's a lot of good ones out there. Make sure that they are using the Bible as their main source of information. And it's more than just being a church of programs and events. It's got to be a church that's centered on doing what Jesus did, proclaiming the kingdom of God, calling people to repent and believe, and to gather people together in the desire to expand to the ends of the earth. And it's going to require building up more churches. Well, listen, I am so grateful to be able to fill in today. This is your guest host, Pastor Trevor Rayborn. I serve over at Morningstar Church, located in South Vero. Our address, by the way, is 698 Timber Ridge Trail, Southwest. And again, you can call in 772-562-6009, and I would be happy to talk with you. In fact, it'll go straight to my cell phone at that point. And if you need prayer, if you need to talk with a minister, if you want to talk with a pastor, if you've been finding yourself in a place where you don't know what your mission and your purpose